Hey everybody, welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Leah, and on this episode, I am doing a quick shot of romance, but author spotlight edition. And on this quick shot, author spotlight, I am welcoming author Layla Frost to chat about her newest release, Little Goddess, which is book three in the Black Resorts series. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Let me tell you, when I saw that you were doing this book, first I was super, super excited because Freddie has been kind of an enigma throughout the series. And it was one of those things where I was like, how is this going to work? Because Cole and Marco have been there too. And it's like, I really wanted their books. And when I heard that they were all going to be together, I was like, ooh, where's that going to go?
I was so excited. Like, I've never tried to do Why Choose before. This is my first attempt. This is my first attempt with male-male. And so I was very nervous to, like, step so drastically outside of my comfort zone. But at the same time, like, as soon as the idea hit me, I'm like, that's it. This is it. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. This is how the story's going to go.
Okay, well, let's get to know you a little bit, and then we will circle back to the book, because I am really excited to talk about it, too. So what initially drew you to romance as a writer?
I have always been a huge reader. Like, when I was a little kid, I would read Babysitter's Club books. And
I love the
then
Babysitter Club.
I had, like, the dolls. Like, when I was a kid, they introduced, like, probably about the same size of an American Girl doll of Babysitter's Club. And I had Claudia and one of the other ones. And now I can't remember. And I can't even remember, believe that I remembered that I had Claudia. That was like, it had to have been 30 years ago.
I mean,
a really long time ago.
I am no spring chicken.
I cannot even believe that I remembered that I had Claudia with her beautiful black hair. But I loved those books. And then I have a sister that's a decade older than me. And so she had Sweet Valley High books. And I was like, ooh, like, I've read all of my Babysitter's Club books. Like, let me go sneak into her room and steal a Sweet Valley High. And it had the, like, you know, those little cute, like, hints of 16-year-old romance. And I was probably, you know, 11 or so. Like, I shouldn't have been swiping those books. But I was like, this is the best thing ever. And then from then on, that was it. Like, I just wanted books with romance in it. And because it just makes you feel so happy all the time, you know? So, like, my mom would take me to the bag book sales at the library where you could jam everything in for $3 or whatever. And I'd, like, load up on those red cover Harlequins. And then as I got a little bit older, she was finally like, okay, you can, like, grab whatever you want. You're not limited to these, like, and then the door closed and that's the end of that part. So it's just always been what I've loved.
It's ironically, I have an older sister also who was a big fan of the Sweet Valley High, and I used to steal hers too. But then I used to steal
so
my mom's
cute.
Harlequins, because my mom used to get, like, the box of Harlequins. We would get, like, 4 to 6 books a month, like, in the
Oh my
mail.
gosh.
Yeah, so I used to read those like crazy. I'd, like, hide in the corner.
I would hide my book underneath my desk at school. And, like, as soon as I finished my work, I'd have my book under the desk to read it. And everyone was like my thing in my high school yearbook was, like, most likely to be an author. And I was like, oh no, that'll never happen. I just love to read. And then bam.
And look at that.
Yeah.
Well, that was back when, like, elementary desks actually were desks and not just tables. I will say, like, my kids, like, it depended on the room. Like, some had actual desks, but some had tables. It's very bizarre. Like, when you walk into an elementary classroom now and you're like, what is going on in here?
Yeah. I just, I wish that my desk that I have right now had, like, that nice cubby underneath. But I know even if I had a cubby to, like, put my notebooks or pens or whatever, it would still end up the way that it was when I was in elementary school, which is a mess, an absolute mess. So I guess maybe it's better it doesn't have it.
There you go. So do you have any writing rituals or habits that help you stay focused and productive, like, when you're writing or even when you're planning? Or
I'm not really much of a planner. I'm kind of a pantser. Inspiration will hit. My biggest thing is that I use the notes app on my phone like ridiculous. It probably, if I were to ever lose my phone, somebody would be like, oh my gosh, this belongs to a serial killer, because it's just this, like, unhinged scrawl of random notes and dirty bits and dialogue and, like, torture scene ideas and, like, all of this. So I'm like, oh, I really hope I do never lose my phone because it would look crazy. But otherwise, I get up. My office is on the second floor, so, like, I text my husband. I come, in my pajamas into the office, and he brings up my iced coffee, and I just try to stay focused as best as possible. But that's, I don't really have much of a routine, or I, like I said, I'm very much a pantser.
It's sometimes crazy to me because I'm not a big planner in really anything in life. And so it's always crazy to me when I talk to authors and like how strict and stringent they are in their planning. But that's the way they have to write, which is great. I think it's so exciting. And I say this to every author I interview, like how exciting it is to hear that no two authors like process is the same.
Yeah, I like in some of the author Facebook groups, I'll see posts from people with these very beautiful like organizers with their planners, and they got their washi tape, and they've got their plot ideas, and they have so much stuff. And I'm like, I wish to be that level of adult because I am not. The only area that I plan, which is very funny, is vacations. I will meticulously plan everything ahead of time for a vacation because once I'm there, I want to just relax. I want everything planned out ahead of time. But otherwise, I'm just like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to be starting this new book. Sure, let me just dive right in.
I think it's great though. Like that is the one thing. Like I love listening to like the authors like in their process 'cause it works. Like it never fails them, and I think that is one of the fascinating things.
Yeah, it's funny to be like, because I'm like best friends with Brynn Asher. We talk daily. I don't think we've really ever gone a day where we're not talking about stuff. And so sometimes we sprint together, which were bad influences on each other. We should probably not sprint together because then she's like, look at these pants that I got, and I cut off the bottoms of them, but you wouldn't have to because you're like half a foot taller than me. And I'm like, okay, but and then look at this like face cream that I got, and look at this, and look at that. And then we're like, oh yeah, we were supposed to be writing together. But she is a big planner. She's very organized with stuff. Like she has started kind of doing her titles before she's even starting the series and stuff. And she's like, do you want to do something like that? I was like, I would love to, but it's not gonna happen.
I was talking to an author once, and I can't remember who it was. And she said she usually is a pantser, and she said this like a new series that she was starting. She like had all these ideas, and she planned it, had like different books, plans for each book. She's like, I started writing, and the plans went out the window. She's like, I wasted all of my time.
That happens. Like, they're characters in our heads. We should have better control over them. We do not. They call the shots. They are running the show. I actually have a scene that was the way that I pictured it the entire time I was doing this book, and then I wrote it out, and I'm like, you know what? This doesn't fit anymore. This is not how it's gonna go. So I'm gonna probably put it out as like a newsletter builder thing, but because I was like, I don't want to just delete it out of the world, but it just wasn't right for the book. And even though I had it in my head the whole time, it just didn't work like that.
I mean, I'm sure that there are lots of people who will still read that though.
Probably.
So you do contemporary, but then you have like your paranormal-ish like fantasy books that you write also. Is there a different thought process that you go through for the different subgenres, or is it kind of the same?
No, not really. Usually it's just inspiration strikes at some point, and I'm like, ooh, I really want to write this. And I know a lot of authors either just trying to stay with what they're known for, or they do another pen name for the different, when they write in the different subgenres. And I was like, I do not have the energy to do that. So I'm like, everything's just going under the same name. We're good. But it's basically the same thing. I think the Four series, which is my kind of modern romanticy one, was the only one that really did take at least kind of a level of planning with like I tried to fit the names to the characters, like the name meaning, related. And that one had like a very strong overarching, villain storyline. So I had to really like make sure I was keeping that in mind as I was doing it. So that's the only one that's kind of required just a little bit more planning for me.
Do you find it hard when you're writing the stories to develop like the romantic relationship aspect along with keeping the story itself engaging.
No, usually it's that I would struggle more with keeping the story engaging. I'm like, I want to get to the good stuff. I want to get to the spice. I want to, that's my favorite part of things. So like usually the connection and the love story and where I see it going, that's the part that's like foremost in my head. And I'm like, and now I need to build a story around that.
Is it hard to, or let me think of how I want others. When you are writing your characters, where do you get your inspiration from? Is it like people that you come in contact with, things that you've read previously, or is it just a shot in the dark sometimes?
Basically, I think I try to develop the character that the story calls for, like who is going to do best in that story. Like, with the little goddess, the heroine in that story needed to be a very specific kind of person. Like she were and the heroine in book two kind of needed to be a little bit stronger and more reserved of a heroine because that's what those stories called for. And like, and also with this series, I had written Little Dove, and it was only supposed to be a standalone. I had no plans to build it into a series whatsoever. So I had these like fun side characters, and then everyone was like, no, please, like I want this story. I was like, oh man, now I have to like kind of expand them more as their own character, not just where they fit in, as secondary characters. And so that was kind of more of a different thing because usually it's the heroine who I'm kind of seeing first. Because that's who I spend the most time in their head. And then So this time I was more like, okay, I already have these guys. So who am I creating to go that would complement them well?
Well, in the words of Susan Stoker, if you're not going to write a book about them, you should not name them.
And you know what? That is really good advice because I had no clue how, I mean, I just love the fact that there's this throwaway like character, even if it's just a paragraph mention, and there are readers that are like, are we getting their story? And I'm like, I love that so much that people get so invested in, these characters that were just there for like a little purpose.
Yeah, I agree. And like I asked multiple authors after reading books of like, when are we getting this story? And they're like, oh, we didn't plan on that. I'm like, but you named them. What is wrong with you?
It's like if you find a stray, never name a stray because then it's going to be
Oh,
harder
because
to
it's never
leave
going to
them.
be a
So,
stray.
yeah. So it's like that, but with romance characters.
How do you handle working the tropes in, but not becoming cliche and keeping your stories engaging?
I write the story that I see it, and then at the end or towards the end, that's when I make my trope list. Like that's when I see what came in and what didn't come in. Cause sometimes I have it in my head that a story is gonna go a certain way and it's gonna have a certain trope. And then it just doesn't end up feeling natural. So I don't set it ahead of time of like what I'm aiming to write with it because people will understand if there's even if it's in the same series, if it doesn't carry on the same tropes, nobody's gonna be like, well, this is, like in Little Goddess, two of them are daddies, but one isn't because the one that isn't just felt very unnatural to try to make him one. So I'm like, you know what? I wouldn't try to force that. I think it's, it worked better to not have it.
I think had you made him a daddy, it would have felt ingenuine.
Weird, right? Yeah. Like the other two, you could be like, yeah, that fits. That's I get that. But then that one would have been like, this is weird.
Definitely. Do you have a favorite trope that you like to read, since you don't really write to the trope? Do you have one that you like to read the most?
I love age gap. And I do, I'm pretty sure every single one of my books is an age gap to some extent. I don't emphasize it enough. Like it doesn't become a, some of them have it where it's like a really prominent thing. But I think other than my romanticy, which is technically an age gap, but like,
Yeah, but it doesn't count in
kind of not.
romances.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty sure all of the other ones have, at least a handful of years between the characters.
I'm like cycling through all your books, and I'm like, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't, like I said, it's not always a story point to it where there's like some conflict around it or some unsurety about it and stuff. Sometimes I just like it. Like my husband's 7 years older than me. And sometimes it's really easy to forget and stuff because we've been together for 20 years. You know, that there's such a age gap, but it's never been like an issue or a thing or whatever. So sometimes I just like to like, here it is. It's just in here and it's natural
It's
and
just a
nobody, you
natural
know.
thing, yeah.
Yeah. But it's
Well,
just
and
because
it's one of those
I
things
love
like
them.
most of your care, I mean, not the women always, but like all of your male characters are always a little bit older anyway. Like you don't have any young male characters, and
No.
out of your female characters, I think only Juliet and Callie have been in their teens. Am I
Yeah.
right?
Yes. Yeah, everyone else is
So
like early to mid 20s.
Like it works a little bit easier. It doesn't have that ick factor to it.
Yeah.
Not that these two have the ick factor, it doesn't really doesn't, but like some books you
Well,
open it and you're like,
some people don't like you know, on Little Dove that she was so young when they first met, and till I'm blue in the face, I just always go, if she was 18 when they met, she wouldn't have lived at home. Like the whole story would collapse like a flimsy house of cards at that point because everyone would be like, well, why, if her dad's so awful, why would she be still living with him and stuff? So
well,
every once in a while.
and like if you like when you read that book, like had she not been 17 when they met, like the story would not have played out the same way
Yeah.
because like she would have been legal. Like a big part of the story was the fact that she was underage and so he had to wait.
Wait, yes.
Like that
And
was a
there's all
lot
that.
of like his turmoil
Yes, and
because he had to
anticipation and
wait.
I know. So that was like you know, that's one of those ones where I was like, you know, some people don't like it, some people are really, really don't like it. And I'm like, it sucks that, you know, that you don't like that part, but if it weren't for that, the whole story's different. The whole thing,
Yeah.
like I would be getting called out a lot where people would be like, why would, you know, she could just leave. Why is she still living at home and whatever? So I'm like, I had to do what the story called for.
I like that one a lot.
I know.
I've reread it multiple times. I've listened to it a couple times. I have like multiple versions of it. Like I'm one of those people who I don't typically buy like multiple versions of a book. Like if I own the paperback, it just because I don't read my paperbacks, they just sit there. They're my
They're
trophies.
decorations.
They are decorations, exactly. So you know. But yeah, that is one of those ones where like I have multiple versions of it. I have listened to it and read
That
it, and I never
audiobook
like
is a
am
great
sad.
audiobook. Yeah.
It's done really well.
Yeah.
It's done really well. I'm excited to listen to Ash's book because
Me
it's not
too.
out on audio yet.
No, it will be out the 18th.
Yeah, it's coming
Right?
soon.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. There was a slight
Nice.
delay with it. I was hoping it was going to be out before this release, but they had a little bit of a delay, and I haven't even gotten my files yet, but I should have them. I think they said probably by the end of today. But I was like, oh boy, I am very excited. It's a different narrator than I've ever used, but he's, you know, comes very highly recommended, and people really love him. So I'm kind of excited. The heroine is Desiree Ketchum, and I love her
Oh, I
narration.
like her a
Like
lot.
I was like, if you can get her, please get her, because she's done a handful of my other ones.
Yeah, I like listening to her. She has a really like good range like of
Yes.
So let's talk Little Goddess. So the release date
Okay.
of this book is February 11th, 2025. So it is not out at time of recording, but by the time we drop the author spotlight, it will be. So you can get it in Kindle Unlimited. It is Why Choose. There is an age gap. There are some BDSM elements. If you like a daddy, you will like this book. Grumpy Sunshine and definitely instant connection,
Yes.
which you have a tendency to do.
Yes. I like it. I like when, especially when it's coming from the hero's point of view. I like the hero to meet the heroine and, you know, be like, yep, this is it. This is who
Just
I'm going
ass
for
over
with it.
end, like
Yes.
she is mine. And I mean, they're all a little bit over the top.
Oh, very. Very over the top.
Little touch her and unaliving vibes going on.
Yeah.
But hey, who doesn't like that?
I know. I know. It's touch her, look at her, breathe in her general direction, and
Yeah.
unalive.
Like, so my oldest is in Scouts, and so like when they talk about like knife safety, they have a what's called the blood circle. And so I always think of that as like you have to be in the blood circle or out of the blood circle, because then they get grumpy about it, which
Yes.
makes
Oh, that's perfect.
it sounds so much worse than it is. But yeah, I always get that like picture in my head where it's like you spin, and if you can cut them, you're too close.
Yes, exactly.
So Little Goddess falls a little bit different because it has that storyline that happened in Little Sunshine that like ties into this one, and you hadn't done that
Yes.
previously in your contemporary.
No.
Was that harder for you to do it in the contemporary than it is in your fantasy stuff?
There was a lot of going back, like, into my book and double checking the storyline. And I keep like 50 billion. I told you I keep the notes in my thing. I'm trying to see if I have one, but it fell. I keep notes in my app, but I also keep like 50 physical notebooks
Okay.
because for some reason timelines are easier to write out there. So when I was like, oh, I want to make sure, that this stuff is happening before this stuff had happened in Little Sunshine, so I went through and made notes of basically, skimmed through Little Sunshine and said, okay, this happened. And then 3 weeks later, this happened and stuff. So it was definitely a little bit more work, but it was like kind of clear enough in the story that it was just more like skimming through and noting versus going, having to like really rack my brain and find where the heck, did I mention a timeline?
So this is a why choose. There are three guys, one girl. They're so different, but
Yes.
so similar at the same times. But they blend really well. Was it hard to keep them straight when you were writing them?
No, actually, I think because they are so different that it was just about which scene played better from whose point of view, and then like jumping into their mindset was pretty easy because they are so different. Like I had one scene that I had started from Cole's point of view, and I was like, you know what? This seems like a Marco thing. I feel like this should be Marco, doing it. So that was like, I was like, oh, like meticulously making sure that I had changed everything in the point of view properly and didn't like slip back into somebody else, back into Cole or leave something that would make it obvious that I had flopped it. But a lot of times it's just, who do I think, whose point of view do I think the story would benefit from? But if they were more similar, it probably would have been a little bit harder to keep track of,
Yeah.
like,
Yeah, because they had definite some personality similarities. Like they're all very like intense. Like Cole and Marco are a little bit darker, I would say, than
Yes.
Freddy, just
Freddy's very
because
playful.
they're one of the goons. Like
Yes.
Freddy's not technically a goon because he's the chef, but he has kind of a difficult background as like the other
Yeah.
two do too. I just really enjoyed the way that they played off each other, but also the relationship that grew between the four of them, but Cole and Freddie as well, which was a happy accident. As like you're reading, you're like, ooh, what's gonna happen?
Yes. Yeah, that was when I started this, I'm like, okay, this is the way that I hope that it turns out, and was because I had already kind of laid a little bit of hint about it in Little Sunshine when like Cole like quickly exits out of just an innocent, message from Freddie, but just a little, you're like, what's up with that? But I've never attempted to write an MM before. I love them. I think that they're really interesting. I think that the storylines can just be so beautiful, especially when it's just something that's developing so naturally. So I'm like, if I'm writing it and I feel like I'm not doing it justice, then I'm not going to do it. Then I will continue with just a why choose where there's no swords crossing. But I was really hoping that I would be able to kind of adequately do that because that was what the characters were saying to me.
So Callie, when we're introduced to her, she is going from basically like one commune kind of cult place to another. And
Yes.
she So she's lived this fairly sheltered life, but not sheltered at the same time. But she is like a bright ray of sunshine that you're like, how is she still so positive?
Yes, I thought, even though she is kind of coming from an environment where she's a little bit on the neglected side, I really wanted it to be different. Like all of the heroines in this series kind of come from that, you know, and I feel like that was a necessary thing of why they would be so drawn to these relationships where they really feel appreciated and nurtured and cared for and all of that. You know, but I didn't want her to come from the same kind of abusive one that the first two. I wanted to do something really different with it. And so even though, like, you know, kind of slightly on the neglected side because of how her parents are, still more of a loving-ish, you know,
Ish, yeah.
warped but a loving-ish thing. Because I really wanted her to be a very sunshiny character.
Yeah, she definitely is, and like, but that's the thing, like you have, look at her character, and as like the story progresses, you're like, how is she still the on the bright side of things? Like, it's just, I don't know how I would react if I was in that same situation. But I mean, I'm kind of curmudgeon-y already in my life.
I am the
So.
opposite. I am a I'm gonna look on the bright side, even if I probably shouldn't. Probably like border toxic positivity sometimes, because I just don't like to be grumpy. So I'm like if I'm mad at my kids, like they're gonna get a stern talking to, and then I'm over it. I'm done. I don't I'm like, well, I got it out, we're good. Like, because I just don't like to hold a grudge. I don't like to be, you know. So that was kind of a fun, because
So you put all
Mila
on
in
yourself in Cali.
I feel like probably the most of myself. There's the other two characters I feel like were a lot me were Piper in, from Hide and Seek, and Juno from Stoned in the Four series. Like those two have almost my opposite sides. Like Piper just kind of being more to like put together and her life younger and stuff, because I got married young, I had a family young, I, you know, had things kind of figured out a little bit earlier on. And then Juno's kind of my perv side, like with the inappropriate jokes and just, you know, kind of nerdy and goofy and stuff like that. So, but Callie was like a fun, you know, some of my quirks went into her and my, you know, that like, okay, everything's kind of crappy, but I've got rice pudding, so it's a-okay.
Man, every time she talked about that stinking rice pudding, I was like, man, I want some rice pudding.
I don't even usually like rice pudding. I like Kher, like Kheer, the Indian rice pudding. That's the one that I love. So in my head, that's what I was picturing. But for whatever reason, I was just like, I feel like she would really love some rice pudding.
Just had a hankering for it.
Yeah.
I mean, she uses as like a weaponized rice pudding at
Yeah.
one point, but you'll have to read the book to find out how. Yeah, it was just, well, and even like the way that she meets Freddy, she tells him his food isn't good. And that was one of the things, like in like Little Dove, like when Juliet met him, like he didn't share recipes, he didn't like do anything, and he was very like specific about his food, and it's like nobody called him Freddy. Like
Yeah.
there's like levels to him. But then like she's first meeting, she's like, there's a little too much of this, and you're like, I don't know what's gonna happen here.
You know what's so funny is Rita was like, oh, I want Freddie. Like this was, I think, probably before I said that it was going to be a why I choose, or maybe right after. They were like, I want Freddie with a food critic. I was like, have you never met a chef? You could not put a chef with a food critic. It would just not happen. It doesn't matter how much they loved them. If there was a like actual like bad review, that person is dead to them. That it would just not happen. I was like, I'm gonna like this hint of something is as far of a critique as a chef is gonna take with it.
Yeah, that would not go over well because he's
No.
so like manic almost when it comes to his food.
And a lot of really good chefs are like that. So I,
There, I mean, the ego comes naturally in that world.
oh yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
Do you have, out of all your Black resorts, heroes and heroines, do you have a favorite?
Oh gosh. No. I don't think I could choose. They all have like something different. Like Maximo, I feel like kind of broke the mold with heroes. Like, he's just, there's no, gonna be no ever replicating him. I would never try to replicate him. He is his own person. And that's why it worked so well that, like, the rest of the guys had already kind of established this different personality. So that way people weren't reading, like, Little Sunshine or Little Goddess and expecting Maximo 2.0, like, because he's just, so maybe him. But again, it's really hard to choose.
I mean, he was the start of the series, like a series that you, even in your dedication in this book, like you weren't sure how it was going to be accepted. It was like your turning point almost.
It really was. It really, really was. I feel like I've had two kind of monumental things that, like, have changed the course of my life and my writing and my everything. And the first one was Until Mayhem, doing that in that crossover world with Aurora Rose Reynolds. That was just such a, like, it was a fun experience. It was a great experience. And I gained so many new readers from that, like, this whole huge untapped area where just because she was like, hey, you can throw some of my characters in here and write, under my publishing thing. And I'm like, great. And that really, was just such a good experience in it, and it really broadened my readership. And then Until May, or not Until May, I'm sorry, Little Dove was the next one where I'm like, this is either gonna make my career or it's gonna break it, and I guess we're finding out.
Well, because I had read your other ones, and like when I read that you were writing that, I was like, it's a little twist from where she usually goes. But I love when authors challenge themselves. So like Charity Farrell, she does contemporary, but she has this mafia series too. I don't know if you've ever read her, but there is something about the way she writes these mafia books that like her contemporary is fine, but her mafia is really good.
I think, there's some pros to keeping on brand, and writing what your readers enjoy, but it's also really good creativity, to take a step out and go, okay, here's a risk. I hope you'll go on this adventure with me.
Well, because your Damaged and Deathly like series, like collab with Brynn, like that was pretty dark too, overall.
You know what? That's probably another heroine that I really saw myself into. That was a really fun experience to collab with her, because it just went really smoothly. Like I said, we're best friends, so it's like the easiest thing to just go, okay, here, add this in here, and okay, take this out of here, or whatever. But it was didn't feel like work. It was like just a, because we wrote our own books, but just with some, like, input from each other of how to do that crossover with it and stuff. But that one's definitely dark.
Yeah, it's dark.
It's a heavy book.
Do you think that the two of you will do something like that again?
I don't know. I hope so. We tend to work in a lot of little overlaps. Like, we did that Snowden anthology, and when we saw that we would be our stories would be in a row, we're like, oh, let's make our characters best friends. And again, it was just a lot of little, like, here's what you need to know about my character. Great, it's in there, and we're good to go. And then she just released the Playbook of Emma,
Yeah,
and
I saw that
she
founder's like little snippet that you slid in there at the end of the book.
because she was like, it's gonna take place in Vegas. And I was like, oh, I'm like, if you need a resort to use, like, feel free. And she goes, oh my gosh, I would love that. So she, like, added a little bit at the beginning about them drinking at Nebula, which is one of Maximo's resorts. And then I, made a couple references throughout and linked to her book and stuff. So little things like that, I'm sure that we'll forever do. But I don't know if we'll. It depends on if we ever have, because she kind of had her story idea. I kind of had mine. And then we were like, you know what? These actually would kind of fit together because they were both a little outside the box for us. So,
So schedules and stars have to align for it to happen, but it
yes.
would be something you would do again.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. I would definitely do it.
Because that, honestly, like those two are two of my favorites from you guys, just because of the way they're so intertwined. And it's one of those situations where authors have tried it. Some are very successful about like the way that it plays out, and some are not. But I like yours, like there's just so many little intricacies in the storylines that like you knew that you actually worked with each other, like as you were writing it. And it's like there was a lot of care in those characters and those books. And it's like, yeah, this was definitely like an effort.
Yes, it was an effort to make sure that we nailed it right without spoiling the other person. We wanted to be very careful about that we didn't, do anything that was gonna impact their story. But it really was a breeze to do it. It was just it flowed really well. It was a really natural thing. I think I finished it up at like 4 in the morning with a sleeping baby on my chest because I finished writing it like I'd started it while I was still pregnant and then finished it shortly after my daughter was born. And she's like, "Do you want to push it back? Like we can delay this because you have a whole newborn." And I was like, "You know what? No, like I was just so excited. It's one of the books that I'm most proud of, even though like I think it's kind of people don't know what to expect with it. So I know a lot of people are like, "Ooh, maybe I'll get to that one eventually." We as it is, like hers is very twisty, which is kind of outside of what she does. And mine is, like I said, very heavy. It deals with some emotional topics and stuff. But I tried to not even it out because it still is heavy, but there's like a lot of layers to it and stuff. So I was very, very happy to do that.
Well, and it's one of those things like when you're all in like the hormone like fog and phase, like you got to push those emotions somewhere.
Exactly. I am always very open about the fact that, like, after, because I have 4 kids, like, after them, I'm like, okay. And now I start my anxiety meds because I get very bad postpartum anxiety. So, like, this, instead of just like, here we go, I've got my meds and I've got my little stupid walks for my little stupid mental health, I also put a lot of that into, that book. And it was probably the most, like, cathartic thing that I could have done at that time.
Well, I mean, it worked.
Good, thank you.
So, what's next?
Oh boy. Okay. I have a new series that I'm just at the very beginning stages planning. But I kind of feel like I really like where things are going. Kind of with dipping into like the naughtier side of things, especially with this series. Like it made me feel a lot more confident about it. And it showed that, a lot of my readers who kind of joined for my fluffier stuff with the Hyde series do like, these little walks on the wild side and stuff. So I think I'm going to kind of lean into that a bit with a at least 3 book, possibly 4 book series that's going to be set in LA, which I'm very, very excited about. But before that, I'm going to take a 2 week break.
It's a
I'm
good
going to do 2
plan.
weeks of just reading and watching TV because I basically have spent like the last year kind of going from one book into another because I hit a slight delay over the summer when I had hip surgery. And I was like, I really want to wrap that 4 series and get that done. And then this was already up for pre-order. So like I finished that and it went to the editor and literally, the next day I opened up a doc and started this one. So it's like I'm gonna take 2 weeks and just veg on the couch and then jump into something new.
I mean, that's a good plan.
Yeah. There are far worse ways to spend the time.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much, Layla, for coming
Thank
on and
you.
chatting with me. I appreciate it so much.
This was awesome. I'm really, really glad that you invited me.
So, check out Little Goddess and Little Dove and Little Sunshine and the whole like Court of Mayhem and the Hyde series and all of them. You can just read them all. And if you haven't read her yet, you need to read her. But yes, so February 11th, this new one comes out. It's book three. It is a delight. You will not be disappointed.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Until next time, happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.